It's getting spooky in here. How's everybody doing today? Okay, let's do a little bit better now. How are you doing today? Yeah, that's a little bit better. Well, guys, my name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel Community Church. And one of the things is to add on to what Pastor Lance was saying about our new church plant in Birmingham, Alabama, is I'm going to take a group of men to Alabama on November the 11th to help them, to get them excited, and to speak a message of truth. And so if anybody wants to go with us, we're going to be going on Sunday, November the 11th. I'm going to be taking a group of men, so we'd love for you to join the caravan of love and head down to Bama. What is it, Roll Tide country?
Roll Tide.
Yeah, Tuscaloosa is down that way somewhere. So guys, we are going to be continuing a series of messages that Pastor Lance started last week called Ghost Stories, and that has sparked a lot of intrigue into what this series is about, and you're definitely going to hear some Holy Ghost story today. Can somebody say amen to that? And just to give you guys an idea, this is about the things that haunt us and the things that really trouble our souls. And before we get involved in the story, I want to introduce a couple to you, Doug and Stacy Protovansky. If you guys can give them a big hand. Several years ago, Doug and Stacy went to Victory Weekend. And if you guys didn't know, on October the 26th and 27th, we're going to be having a Victory Weekend right here at Bethel Community Church. You can get signed up for it. Come on, Victory Weekend. Everybody who's clapping, you guys, of course, you'll sign up. We know that. But for the folks that don't clap, you guys need to sign up as well. And we just wanted to take a couple of minutes and to share a powerful story in the life of Stacy about her experience at Victory Weekend. Come on, let's give her one big hand clap. Go ahead, Stacy.
Okay, so I attended my first Victory Weekend about 9 years ago after attending Bethel. I was already saved, loved being at the church, and it felt like it was what everyone here was just doing. I'll admit, I had the wrong attitude and didn't get much out of it. But 3 years ago, I was feeling the push to attend with Doug. We didn't have the extra funds, but kept feeling the push to go. We prayed every night and last minute received the call that our weekend had been anonymously funded. I went into that weekend this time with great expectations after hearing others' testimonies about how life-changing it was and it could be. Our first 2 days were great, and we were even making connections with other couples and learning some awesome stuff. But as we came upon day three, our final day, I was feeling a bit disappointed, even praying to God that I just wasn't getting that life-changing moment. But thank God. Day three is when men and women split and would dig deeper onto relatable separate issues. In the girls' room, we listened to our speaker tell her life story, rising above family abuse, sexual, physical, mental, and chemical. It was as if she was telling my story. After she spoke, the room was full of tears and there were questions. One woman stood up and volunteered that she was struggling with demons from her past, guilt and shame over decisions that were keeping her from feeling freedom over her life. Were these people in my head? A woman speaks from the group simply saying, "Who cares? Who cares about those issues? Who cares about those decisions? God only cares that you're here right now and you desire to follow him into a better future," and that's when I lost it. It was in that moment that God gave me the insight to say, "Who cares what happened in my past? Because my past does not define my future," I could finally move forward into my own victory.
Amen. Come on. Thank you, Stacy. Let's give it up. I got you. Thank you, Stacy. You know, I wanted Stacy to share her story because it is possible to get past the past. Can someone say amen to that? It is possible for the past not to own you. And we're going to be talking today about that. You know, last week, Pastor Lance, he spoke about fear and how fear can cripple us and how fear can paralyze us. And today we're going to be talking about that thing that really can haunt all of us is the past. And it's because all of us have a past. All of us have things in our life that we are not proud of, and many things in our past that may have caused us shame. Many things that cripple us from going forward and keep us in a position to not do all the things that maybe even God has called us to. And in so many ways, we give the past more power than it deserves. Can somebody say amen? We all have a past. We're going to be talking about that today. If you could, open up your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. All of you, I would love it if you could open up a Bible or your app. Hopefully you guys have like a Holy Bible app. If you don't have a Bible on your phone, that's a great one to have. I like to use a translation, the New King James Version of the Bible. It's a word-for-word translation from the original scriptures. And we're going to read a passage of scripture to kind of set us in the right course for this journey in dealing with our past today. And it might get a little bumpy along the way. And for some of you, it may bring up some difficult things and memories. Because the thing about the past is, even though if you're a born-again believer and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God's forgiven you about things you may have done in the past, but you still have the memories, don't you? You still have to live with it. And many times, for many of us, when it's quiet in our life or we're about to go to sleep or when something triggers us, we're forced to deal sometimes with the past all over again. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, everybody say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's the prerequisite for where we're going. If you are in Christ, if you are in Christ, that means that if you have accepted that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that when he died on the cross, he died for your sin, your and my sin. And we have accepted his forgiveness and his blood, which atones, which means made right with God. And we have a relationship with God solely because of what Christ did. And if you can agree to all that, that means that you are in Christ. Can somebody say amen? So it says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, everybody say behold, all things have become new. Now this is troubling for some because there's some things that we never would have thought that God could use or that God could make new. And for many of us, we may be thinking that the things in the past will always haunt us. We're going to have a working definition of the past for us today so we can all be on the same page. The past for us today means all the things that I have done or all the things that have been done to me in the past. All the things that I have done. And for many of us, if you're like me, you got a whole host of things you wish you would not have done. And if you're also like me, there's a whole host of things that have been done to you that you wish would not have been done. You know what? You're in good company if you have a past. That might be a shameful place in your life, but you are not alone if you've got what many would call a troubled past or a scary past. You are not alone. Don't think that you are being isolated or that God's only speaking to you. He's speaking to all of us today. Even the Bible that you carry in your hand, there's a lot of people with a troubled past in the Bible. Can somebody say amen? There is a man named David. We know him as King David. He was an adulterer and he was a murderer. But he was also listed as a man who loved God. There is a man named Samson, a strong man from the Old Testament. He violated his promise to God. Maybe some of you have had those foxhole prayers. God, if you get me out of this jam, I'll never do it again. I'll never go back. If you just forgive me this one time, God, I'll never go back. But yet, we have violated that. Well, you know what? Samson violated that. Something else Samson did. He chose a relationship with a woman over God. Now, we don't experience that here in Clarksville, do we? Right? We won't know anything about that, but many times we see people choosing a relationship over the God of the Bible. There is a man, this is a hard one to say, Mephibosheth. Can y'all say that? I didn't think so. Mephibosheth, he was a guy who was very known to David. David had a best friend named Jonathan, and his son was named Mephibosheth. When he got older, he had shame about his family name. He thought that he would not be accepted, and he might even get killed because of his family lineage. And some of you guys don't want to be anywhere around your family, let alone go to a family reunion. Preach it, that's right. Because some of us, we know that the family has caused shame. Even if we were to go to your hometown, for some of you, we call it hometown because I'm from a small county in West Tennessee. But for some of you, they know your name. I know when I go to my hometown, Pastor Lance, I can walk down the street. There's only 10,000 people in the county. They're like, you Pages boy, ain't you? Like, yes, sir. Some of you guys might be ashamed of your family legacy. There was a man we're going to find out a little bit more about named Paul. We call him the Apostle Paul. He wrote about a third of the New Testament. He hated Christians. He persecuted Christians. There's a man named Peter. We call him the Apostle Peter. He is in the New Testament. He lied about knowing Jesus, denied knowing Jesus, and I'm sure he wished he could erase that part of his past while he was alive. There was a woman named Rahab. She was a prostitute in the Old Testament, but we find out later on she's in the lineage, in the line of Jesus Christ. All of us have got a past. You know, I was driving down Wilma Rudolph Boulevard, our beloved street in Clarksville, Tennessee. And while I was driving down the street, I was caught up in a little bit of traffic. Anybody been in traffic on Wilma Rudolph? Yeah. Bless its heart. And while I was slowed down, I took this picture because it stuck out to me as I was driving down the street. And I think it has a good reference for us today. Now, many of you guys probably can't see the words on that, but it says, in the lower portion of my rear view side mirror, objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. And I thought about that today because for many of us, our past may be a year old, 10 years old, decades old. For some of us, it goes back 30, 40, 50 plus years. But for many of us, because of the pain of the past, it feels like it's closer than what it really is. And I want you to look at that because you're never going to look at your side mirror another way again. But look at it very closely because there's things in your life. When you turn around or you close your eyes and you think about the past, it's like staring in a mirror. And for many of us, those things that are so painful, it feels like they just happen. And for many of you, you get a lot of counselors say you got triggered. Anybody ever heard that word? You may get triggered and it makes you feel like it just happened again. And for some of us, the past is so real. It affects us today. Many of us have had relational problems with the past. We may have seen how parents or how family members went through divorce after divorce all over our family tree, or relational problems and mom and dad were split, and all these relational issues, they happened years ago. They may not have even happened directly in front of us at the time we may have been growing up, but because it was so prevalent in our family, we got conditioned to think that certain things in life were just okay. And now we're grown up now. We got big people's money, right? But we can't escape the problems that happened in the past. And now divorce may be knocking on our door. Relational strife, problems with our parents, problems with our children are right there. And it seems like the things that happen on that side of the family tree or in the branch right beside us, now it's coming on us. For some of you, it's a financial problem with the past. You may have grown up and saw mom or dad or both of them struggling financially. And it seems like everybody was always in debt. It seemed like nobody was ever set free. I remember when I was growing up, we were poorer than the average person, I would say. And I remember one year getting food stamps for a birthday present. I turned that into a blessing, Pastor Lance. I went to the grocery store. I'm going to get me some Oreo cookies with these food stamps. I don't even think they do the paper food stamps. We used to make it rain with the food stamps. Thought I was blessed. But it seems like credit card after credit card and paying things off and robbing Peter to pay Paul, that was just a part of life. And if you grew up like that and now you're a grown up and you're an adult and you wonder, why do we have all these financial problems? And it could be that the past, which seems so far away, has affected us today and affected us to see the world in a certain way. And for many of us, the past operates like we're a puppet and it's the puppet master. Anybody remember Pinocchio? And it's like the past is just controlling the way we see things with tunnel vision. And our thoughts and the way we think about things. And when we hear things like FPU, financial peace and getting out of debt and we can live debt-free, that seems like a farce. It seems like a hoax. It seems unreal. It seems like a fantasy for many of us because of our past. Can somebody say amen? What about medically? Many of us have seen disease after disease all through our family. This family member had cancer. That family had breast cancer and heart disease was all in the family. And now you're encroaching on getting older and you start to think, well, I got some health problems too. And you might have heard some bad news from the doctor. And it seems like the past is very hard to shake. You know what's really hard about the past? The past that we create is really hard to shake. Going back to the Apostle Paul, let's look over at Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, we see this guy named Saul, who God changed his name to Paul later on. He was a bad dude. We found out a little bit earlier, he used to persecute Christians. Basically, he would lock them up. He would kill them if he needed to. He hated Christians. He hated them. But then he hated them until he met Jesus. And then Jesus changed his mind about how he saw the whole world. And then he decided he wanted to give his life to Jesus Christ. And he realized that Jesus could save him. Even a person like that who cursed the name of Jesus. And we find out even in the life of a great man like the Apostle Paul, our past is hard to shake. Well, Taylor Swift said, shake it off. Sometimes it's hard to shake it off. In Acts chapter 9, verse 13, there was a man named Ananias who was sent by God to help Paul. But then when the Holy Spirit started to communicate with him about this man named Paul, Ananias said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. I bet there's some people who could probably say you've done some evil in your life. There's probably some people that you do not want us to bring on this stage and say, tell us about so-and-so. It might embarrass you. It might cause shame. And really the hardest thing to escape is the past that we created, the things that we have done. And for many of us, if you have given your life over to Jesus Christ, you still might be operating on what we call an expired identification. Now, for many of us who have a driver's license, you got a passport, you've got some kind of student ID, it has an expiration date on it. And there comes a time when you need to throw that thing away. Now, I know for many of you guys, you probably got an old ID with an old picture of you was looking wild in that picture. But when you give your life to Jesus Christ, God gives you a new identification. It's kind of like in the heavenly vital records office, you get a new birth certificate. The heavenly DMV, you get a new printed identification that recognizes where you're really from. It undoes all the stuff that you used to be, but some of us, we still operate on an expired identification. We identify with the past so much that we allow it to dictate where we go, what we do, what we don't do, how close we get to God. Because of the past, now, some of us, we've had these things called church hurts. Anybody ever heard of a church hurt? Go, or raise your hand. See, a church hurt can be some of the worst kind of hurt because you don't expect it to come from a place like this. But I read a statistic one time and it said 1 out of 4 people that don't go to church, it's not because they might be atheist, not because there's some other religion, it's because they've been hurt by the church. And for some of us, it happened many years ago, or maybe not so many years ago, but definitely in the past. And if you got hurt by church, how do you think that dictates how you allow God to use you? How do you think that dictates how close you allow God to get you to a body of believers? And for some of you, praise God, you walk through the door. For some of you, they're on Facebook Live right now watching church, maybe for the first time in decades. And you're drawing close to the people of God. And God has so much for you. Did you know the places where God has called you to be? The stuff God's called you to do is so much greater than your past. But we can negate all the stuff that God wants to do in our life because we allow the past to act like it's greater than God. But I want to tell you, you can be set free from that. Can somebody say amen? If you could flip over to Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to give you a few scripture to hold on to. These are scripture you can write down, take a note on your phone, share on social media. These are things that you need to get inside of you. These are ones I hope that you would memorize, because when the past comes calling, and it will, even now, some of the things from your past are probably stirred up to your memory right now. I want you to hear these scripture from the Word of God. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do." This is the Apostle Paul. Think about it. This is a man with a checkered past. He says, "I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Look at what he's doing in verse 14. He says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." This is a man who had a past, but he's not allowing the past to control him. He's saying, God can use my past. I don't know about you, but for some of us, the past is scary. There's a lot of ugly things that happen in this world. Can you say amen with me? There's a lot of troubling statistics. There's a couple of them that come to mind. 1 in 4 girls before the age of 18 is raped or molested. 1 in 4. 1 in 6 boys are molested before the age of 18. And, you know, that happened to me when I was a young boy. And I allowed that thing for 20 years to control me. Oh, it didn't show up in everyday life, but it showed up. It distanced me from trusting. It distanced me from allowing people to get close, specifically men of God. Because I didn't grow up with a loving, nurturing father figure. Anybody else? All our dads got some drama. Lord, help us. But if you've had a past, maybe it's not that, but it's some sort of trauma. It's hard to escape the things that have happened to you. It's one thing when you're the one who's done the wrong, but when the wrong's been done to you, it still lingers in your past and it wants to own you. And the enemy wants to use that thing to limit you, to cripple you, to rob you of joy, to rob you of peace, to second guess whether there even is a God. Why would a good God allow things like that happen? It's because there's some people in the world that are not trusting in the living God. Trusting in themselves, and they're listening to voices that did not come from God. Can somebody say amen? The Apostle Paul is saying that you can overcome that. Isaiah chapter 43, if you could turn over there in your Bible, Old Testament verse, which speaks to us today. Verse 18 and 19, it says, "Do not remember the former things." There's a consistency in what God is saying. Your past wants to destroy you. God is saying, don't allow it. He says, don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. And he says, behold. Everybody say, behold. I love when God says, behold. It's like a magician. Behold. He said, I will do a new thing. And he didn't just say that to Isaiah 1,000 years ago plus. He's saying that to you today. He's saying, I can do a new thing. The thing that you thought was going to cripple you, it was going to hinder you, it was going to destroy you, it was going to knock you out, it was going to keep you from a relationship that honors God, it was going to keep you from having victory in your finances or victory over sin, he's saying, I can do a new thing in your life. Are you awake today? Somebody say amen. He says, now it shall spring forth. I love when God says stuff like this. Shall you not know it? He said, I will make a road in the wilderness. He said, I'll put an 8-lane highway through Guthrie, Kentucky. What? Surely ain't nothing good in Guthrie. God said, I can do it. And he says, and a river in the desert. There may be some things you have put to rest and you just said, and some of you have said these words, I guess it's always going to be that way. And you have spoken a curse over yourself and identified with the past that wants to cripple you. And God is saying, I will do a new thing if you let me. If you believe in my word, I will do a new thing. If you trust in God more than that thing. But for many of us, we have allowed the past to become an idol. It's so big, it's so scary, and in many ways it has become an idol because we second guess things and we consider what the past did to us before we make a move forward. Let's look at 2 Corinthians one more time. I just want you to remember this verse and hear it again and again. This is one you need to quote to yourself. When you wake up in the morning, some of you need to say this verse. You need to speak this out loud. Let's read it together. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's read it together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The places that God wants to take you, the things that He wants to do through you are so much bigger than what you can imagine. Stacy Protovansky told you her story. She could have allowed her past to continue to debilitate her. God touched her life, and God said, I want to use your past. I don't want you to wallow in your past. I want to take the most shameful, hurtful things in your past, and I want to use that. This is what God says. I will use that to do something new in somebody else's life. Because there's somebody else in this room that is dealing with the stuff she was just talking about. And maybe you didn't think it was possible, but when God touches one life and they are not bound by the past, God can use that so that you can verbalize. And you start to believe if God did it to her, maybe He can do it to me. See, God is no respecter of persons. So here's the big question. How do we let go of the past? It's easy just to say it. It's easy just to go up to somebody who's dealing with some stuff in their past. Oh, just let it go. Yeah, well, a lot of people tell you just to let it go. How do you do that? It's not just on Frozen. You can't just let it go. I'm going to give you two easy little things that are really not so easy. First one is to believe God's word. It's hard to let go of a past when you believe in the past more than you do the word of God. But if God sent His anointed word that has been time-tested, it's been tested by thousands and millions and billions, and it has never changed. It is a living word. The first thing to do is believe His word. Believe His word that it's more real than what you've experienced. And the second thing is to realize that your past is not you. I'm going to say that again. Your past is not you. It does not define you. You say, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how dark the hole that I am in and have been in maybe for years. God does. You think God doesn't know your stuff? You think God can't see under the covers? You think God don't know what you was doing behind the yearbook while you was in high school all those years? God knows you. And He says, I'm willing to love you anyway. And then you say, maybe God will forgive me. Why can't that person? Why can't my family forgive me? Why can't my spouse forgive me? If you have authentically repented, meaning you've changed the way you think and given your life to Jesus Christ, why can't they forgive me? Why can't they put the past in the past? Well, John 15, 19 tells us, number one, they're not God. You can't expect people to be God. John 15, 19 says, if you were in the world would love you as its own. But because you were not of the world. See, a simple definition of Christianity is the ones who are called out to live differently. You're not supposed to be like everybody else because you're not like everybody else. And it says, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. To be honest, I would love to say that if you love Jesus long enough, you may be able to reconcile. But reconciliation is a dance with two people. And one of you might be willing and one of you might not be. And that's between them and God, just like forgiveness is between you and God. And that's their business with God. But I just want to tell you today, it is possible to get past the past. For some of us, life is so busy, so hectic, that we don't even realize until moments like this. Moments like this, that it really has affected me at a greater rate than what I thought that it would. And maybe you're in your seat right now like, God, I do have this past and I can see how it's affected this relationship and how it's affected that job and how it's affected my marriage. I can see all of that plain as day. That is the Spirit of the living God. You want a ghost story? That's the Holy Ghost story. Tapping on your door right now. And I'm so thankful that God gives us a way out. We have this thing called Victory Weekend that's coming up in just a few weeks, on October the 26th and 27th. And to be honest with you, the very first time I went to Victory Weekend, I'll tell you why I'm talking about it. I had stuff I had been holding on me for 20 years. As a young boy, 8, 9 years old, some stuff happened to me that should have never happened to an 8, 9, 10-year-old boy or anybody. Never told anybody. Never told mama, never told brother, never told anybody. 20 years later, shame and guilt caused all kinds of relational issues because it didn't get dealt with. And I was so prideful, like a lot of men. Where my men at? We got some pride. Yeah. We didn't know how to deal with it, and we didn't know who to ask. And even if we did, we wouldn't. But I went to a Victory Weekend, scared to death, didn't know what to do. I prayed, and I fasted 3 days before I went. I said, God, I know I need you. I don't have the joy that your Bible promises. I don't have the peace that your Bible promises. And I'm taking this time out and I just want to simply hear from you. And during that weekend, we heard about all kinds of good stuff. And then halfway through, God started to deal with me. The very thing I hoped that he wouldn't, my past. He said, that's the thing that's holding you back. It's holding you back. God says, I want it. And I met and I sat down with a man at that Victory Weekend and I said, there's something that happened to me and I need to get it off my chest. For the very first time in my life, I opened up and shared about what happened to me. And I love his simple, kind words. He said, that doesn't define you. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that God, your identity is in him and not in that thing. And it was like a mountain of weight. When I believed that, when God's word is true, that that thing didn't own me, that God saw no shame in me, that I could be set free and I could have victory. A mountain of decades worth of shame and guilt fell off and I was set free. Come on. Some of you wish you could shake it off, but you know you can't. And God is saying there is a better way. And I'm just telling you, it would be penny wise and pound foolish not to spend $15 on Victory Weekend. Pastor Lance, you want to come on up? We're going to pray in just a second. We're going to pray that the Spirit of the living God would come and open our eyes to really how big the past has messed with us. But open our eyes even greater to how big our God is, his power, his ability to set you free.
Bow our heads this morning. You know, there's nobody looking around. If you're here today and this message is spoken to you, there's things that in your past that you feel bound by, enslaved to. that has haunted you. I believe today is the day that freedom can begin to come. And if that is you, just put your hands in the air. Nobody's looking around. I'm not even looking around. Lord, here we are, sir. Lord, you see us. Lord, you know, just like Pastor Richard said, you know what has happened. But we're just acknowledging you today that we find ourselves enslaved to that. And so today, God, we say, we take what was done on the cross and through your resurrection, and we receive that freedom today. We apply it to our past right now in the name of Jesus. We look at our past and we say, you will no longer haunt me. Good. You no longer will torment me. You no longer will speak to me in the name of Jesus. We come against you in your name, in that name that has authority and power. We say, be silent in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, that shame and guilt is being removed. And as our hands are lifted, God, let's just embrace that new identity. Lord, we embrace our new IDs. We just take hold of it, just like we're taking hold. We take hold of that new ID. We are the righteousness of God. We stand as holy men and women this morning. God, we'll never be the same because of what's taking place today. In Jesus' name.